Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me on the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
The producer of VFN Radio program. In just a few moments, John Ramos will be joining us. We're going to be sharing the next part of the interview about the Malachi prophecies. The Malachi prophecies that lets us know, if they're accurate, that this pope is the last pope. And it was no sudden surprise. The people that are going to be in the interview with Sid Roth, it's Supernatural, is saying they already had written a book prior to the stepping down of Pope Benedict, when they would said when he would actually step down, which hadn't happened in 400 years. I'm telling you, we are in some end time happenings. We're also going to be talking to you briefly about Mike Bickle, International House of Prayer, as they are preparing for end time prophecy and a conference in May explaining the church in Israel. And don't be afraid, because the Lord is with us. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
The producer of VFN Radio program. In just a few moments, John Rimmel. If you missed the first hour, you've got to hear about the explosion of the fertilizer plant in West Texas. It was amazing. We got to pray for those folks, and we did in the first hour. And it's just, we need God's blessing on us. We need God's blessing on us. Also, a great word was shared by John about, listen, when God speaks a word and he tells you what he's going to do, don't take it out of his hand and start running with it. Just follow what he said and follow who he said it through, because he's able to fulfill it. Even when Sarah had to follow Abraham for a long, long, long time, because Sarah only knew it through Abraham. And eventually she got to see it come to pass when she laughed about it. Oh, great. Here goes Abram again, right? Saying he talked to God again. And now God's saying he's going to have a child. He's going to, you know, we're going to. And the angel comes up to her and says, and by the way, remember, God hears everything. He said, were you laughing in your house? Were you laughing in your tent? And well, she lied to God, right?
She said, no.
She said, no. And he said, not only will you remember that you lied to me, but your child will be called laughter. That's what Isaac means.
Wow.
That's right.
Because when God brings to pass what he says he's going to do, you will know that you had no part of it. And if you That's still right. think... You had a part of it. You got more journey left to you. You have more journey. It's like, just believe God. Save you some process. Yeah. And go to the top. Lay it down and be willing to sacrifice, even if it's the promise. Well, we've been talking about the Malachi prophecies. And Tom Horn is being interviewed by Sid Roth and Chris Putnam. And if you missed the first two parts, because we have a 10-part interview we're playing for you, it's just very, very amazing prophecy that was given 900 years ago. Mm-hmm. And 900 years ago, obviously, the Gutenberg wasn't there. You have different things that wasn't available to be able to read stuff. And so we're seeing things come out now. And it was talked about, by the way, they talked about this, and you're going to be hearing the third part of it. They wrote about the Malachi prophecy back then. I mean, the whole community, the God community, people, followers of God, it was a big conversation during its day when it was prophesied. Mm-hmm. But notice it took nine, well, no, actually, the prophecy actually basically explained each pope that there would be, something about them, sometimes their name, sometimes a symbol about them, and then finally that after the 100th and what, 12th or 111th?
111th. This pope right now is the 112th, the final pope.
And these guys wrote a book. And the book that they wrote, the first book that they wrote, is Petrus Romanus. And you can find this on the VFN Torch. And they said very specifically that the pope would be resigning. This is like 400 years. It was 400 years ago when this actually happened. And it happened because of a scandal 400 years ago. So now they're writing, and they put it in writing because they're not prophets. They say, we just investigated what was already written, what's already established. Mm-hmm. And They said he'd be stepping down on March of 2012, right around there. And so, or the next year. And of course, it looked like it was the next year. But when Pope Benedict resigned or stepped down, whatever the strange occurrence you call it, they didn't know what to do with it, right? They're like, this is not in the book. And so then they find out, and they reported this on the earlier parts of the interview, is that he already did step down in March of 2012.
Yeah.
But they were sworn to secrecy for the whole year while they worked to transition to bring in the right gathering. It's called the
conclave.
The conclave. They organize that, who actually chooses who the next pope is. And the prophecy says that this pope will be chosen. He is from Rome, and his parents were both born in Rome, Pope Francis. And he would eventually, either intentionally or be deceived, and lead a large part of the Catholic Church under the Antichrist. That's what they're saying.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. What they're saying. I'm just saying what they're saying. And right. Of course, there's Christians, there's Catholics that's renounce all this. But mm-hmm. this is you can renounce the darkness all you want to, but it's going to be there. You know, we're not who was around us, because you have Christians everywhere. You have believers everywhere.
Right.
And whatever the title is over the door does not mean that they are or aren't, believe me.
Right.
It's who's in your heart that matters.
That's right. If Jesus is in your heart. And there are saved Catholics. And yes. There's even saved Pentecostals and Charismatics and Baptists and all, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, but this is what's being said, and this is that convergence word. I mean, this is more that convergence, because what we're seeing take place is this too, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. And understand this, that he says that this, and you can hear it in the past previous segments on the last pope, it's called, I guess, is the final pope is Israel's. The generation that sees Israel become a nation will not pass until all these things are fulfilled, Matthew 24. So it's going to be fulfilled in our eyes. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fulfilled in our eyes based on what the words of Jesus in Matthew 24. Listen, this is an interview, a phone interview with Sid Roth, with the writers of the book, Petrus Romanus, and their other book is?
Exo Vatican.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. I have the co-author of the best-selling book, Petrus Romanus, The Final Pope is Here. And I'm so excited about their brand new book. It's called Exo Vaticana. And this book talks about things I have never heard discussed that, as far as I'm concerned, ties all end-time events together in an arena that we'll be hearing more and more about. Now, tell me, Chris, about Project Lucifer.
Well, where the name Lucifer comes from in the association with the observatory complex on Mount Graham.
Now, where's Mount Graham?
Okay, in Arizona. This is where the Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope is. It's outside of Tucson. This came from a project by the University of Arizona, where they have a conglomerate of the Vatican, various United States universities like Notre Dame and the University of Arizona. And then we have a whole cadre of Germans, the Max Planck Institute, the Institute in Heidelberg. So these people have all come together to build this observatory complex. Now, the first telescope to appear up on Mount Graham was the Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope. Now, the Lucifer device is actually an infrared camera that's attached to the large binocular telescope, which is just a few hundred yards from the Vatican's facility. Now, this is the most powerful telescope in the world. I mean, they actually say that it gets clearer images than the Hubble Space Telescope. That's because the University of Arizona pioneered a new mirror technology, and the size of the mirror is really the function of the power in telescopes. Now, the Lucifer device, like I said, is an infrared camera, and it's really useful in looking for exoplanets, planets with Earth-like conditions where they think that they might find extraterrestrial life. Now, why did they name it Lucifer is beyond me. It really looks like they went to extravagant lengths to kind of force it to be, you know, the diabolical name of Lucifer. I mean, it's an acronym. It stands for the Large Binocular Telescope Near Infrared Spectroscopic Utility with Camera and Integral Field Unit for Extragalactic Research. Now, that's quite a stretch. You know, there was a reporter that called them, and, you know, at first they denied that it was associated with the devil. I mean, the name Lucifer is drawn from Isaiah 14, where, you know, with that famous passage where it seems to talk about the fall of the archangel who, you know, tries to exalt himself above God. Now, you know, the Germans at first said, well, you know, that's really about the king of Babylon. It's really not about the devil. So we're not naming it after the devil. But then they contradicted themselves. In the very next sentence, they said that there's a German politician whose name is Teufel, and that's actually the German word for devil, and he was instrumental in getting the funding for them to build this thing. So they wanted to honor him by naming it after his last name, which is the German word for devil. So
okay, why should we be concerned about this project?
You know, it begs the question, what is the Vatican doing with an observatory that's looking for exoplanets? Why is the Vatican involved in astrobiology? They had an astrobiology conference in Rome in 2009 and invited the top secular scientists in the world. We're talking, you know, about atheists and you know, evolutionists who really believe that life is just an accident that happens by chance. And because there's so many other planets out in the universe, it just the law of averages means it'll happen somewhere else as well. And the Vatican is intimately wrapped up in this.
Okay, so if they believe that life happened by chance, then that discounts the validity of the creation story from the Bible.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And, you know, I take them to task in the book Exo Vaticana, especially these Jesuit scientists, you know, said, I don't see any difference in the sort of things that they are saying, you know, when it comes to Darwinism and these issues of the origin of life and the sorts of things that someone like Richard Dawkins, you know, the famous atheist, says. They really have adopted this idea that life just evolved, you know, from pond scum. And, you know, the fact that the Earth is not a very special place means that they can just sort of extrapolate that to have happened over and over again out in the universe. So extraterrestrials are really just an unavoidable part of their worldview.
Now, paint me a little picture based on your research, because this sounds so ominous about the Catholic Church may actually get into extraterrestrial evangelism?
Yeah, you know, it's so odd that you would think that, you know, it was almost a joke, but they're absolutely serious. You know, one of the things that I would challenge your listeners to do is just go to your computer and type extraterrestrial and baptize into a search engine and hit search and see what pops up. What you're going to discover is thousands of hits of articles, mainly interviewing these Vatican astronomers, these Jesuits, who have made all sorts of comments about baptizing extraterrestrials into the Catholic Church. Now, all of that started back in 1992, just about a month before the Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope went into operation on top of Mount Graham. The leader of the Vatican Observatory Research Group, the acronym is VORG, George Coignet, actually gave a bunch of interviews to the press. And at that time, he absolutely said that The Vatican was teaming up with NASA to search for extraterrestrials and then baptizing them into the Catholic Church. Now, he made these statements, and they were reported in mainstream newspapers and in articles online, and they weren't. It doesn't seem tongue-in-cheek at all. In fact, he seemed very serious.
Well, where is this leading?
Well, Sid, you know, we don't believe that what is going on has anything to do with actual extraterrestrials. We don't think the entities that people are coming in contact with are space aliens. We really believe that this is leading to what the Bible says is the strong delusion. We think that these are evil supernatural entities, fallen angels, that are deceiving the world. I think that, you know, the worldview that's associated with evolution and Darwinism and this idea that life is nothing special is, you know, intentionally designed to undermine the biblical worldview. It's intentionally designed to undermine the gospel. And I think that what's going on is that strong delusion that we see predicted in biblical prophecy.
Now, let's go back to what the Bible talks about these Nephilim, because that's what you're talking about. Tell me about that.
Well, in Genesis 6, it does talk about these entities known as the Nephilim. Now, it's my belief that that term Nephilim is based on an Aramaic word that means giants. And that interpretation is kind of borne out by the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint. It actually uses the term gigantes. And when you look in, you know, Numbers chapter 13, it talks about that, you know, that the Israelites thought that they were grasshoppers in the sight of these huge beings. So it really does seem that these fallen angels are able to manifest bodies and to procreate with human women to create a hybrid offspring that is quite a bit larger than a normal human being. And that really does seem to be the meaning of the text.
What biblical evidence is there that the Nephilim will reemerge in the last days?
I think the principal starting point is Jesus's inference that as in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. You know, when we think of the days of Noah, well, that's Genesis chapter 6. And, you know, that's where this passage about the Nephilim is found. So, you know, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to associate the days of Noah with these hybrid offspring. With the evidence that we see coming from the UFO abduction phenomenon, it does seem that the same sort of thing is going on today.
Speak a little bit about your chapter on the return of hybrid humans. What does that mean?
Well, the Nephilim are described as hybrids between angelic, or these sons of God, the Elohim, which are spiritual beings, which also seem to manifest bodies. So the Nephilim are hybrids. And then, you know, the sort of literature that scholars in the UFO community, like David Jacobs, who is a PhD historian at Temple University, wrote a book called The Threat, where he absolutely believes that these alien entities are collecting human DNA for the purpose of a hybrid program to integrate themselves into our world.
You know, it's kind of interesting that Hollywood has a lot of movies about these things, and TV it seems to be very popular now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wrote about what I call the UFO mythos, meaning that there's a mythology that's associated with aliens and UFOs that's really, you know, predominant in the culture. A lot of people...
Well, I'm sorry, we're out of time. I can't wait for you to read these two books we're making available. It's a whole new paradigm for end times. They document the secret files in the Vatican Library and the belief that the Vatican says there are aliens from outer space. Petrus Romanus, the last pope, hidden deep in the Vatican libraries 900 years ago, there was a vision of the next 112 popes. Stunning accuracy of the first 111. Now, this last pope will take office for the final judgment. The second book, Exo Vaticana, and I might add, it's not available in bookstores. We have an exclusive on this for a while. Documents Vatican plans for the arrival of an alien god with a small g from another planet and complete reevaluation of Christianity. This is such a plausible view of the Antichrist coming in the clouds to deceive the masses. Both books available for a gift of $35.
That's so important, what you're hearing, and you can get that from Sid Roth's ministry. You also can get there by going to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and it is available now on Amazon.com. We're listening to the interview about the Malachi prophecies. And listen, I'm with you too. You know, I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 6, and it's like, really? Serious? You know? And
right.
And he did say it's going to be the same as the days of Noah. Well, what was the days of Noah's back? We're going to discuss that in a little bit. You're listening to VFN Radio. We're here. Bye-bye.
Does freedom of speech include all social topics and religious views? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
If people are allowed to write books about building illegal weapons and abusing children, which is very illegal, yet we can't express our opinions about being a Christian in school, is freedom of expression and freedom of speech not applying to Christianity?
Well, it does apply to Christianity, and you have the right to share your faith on campus, which gives you the ability to meet in these Bible clubs or to participate in events like See You at the Poll or to have a prayer and Bible study going on during your lunch hour. You're allowed all of these rights under the Constitution, and no one is in a position to take those away. The only thing that can be put in place is what's called time, place, and manner restrictions. Those have to be very reasonable and very neutral. So if you have any difficulty in that arena, I want you to call our offices here at the ACLJ. We'll get you in touch with our legal department immediately.
For news and information on critical issues, visit the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Vine Fellowship Network University. It is amazing when you live and breathe and be educated in the things of God through a rhema word, what God is saying now to his people, what we need to know now and do in this generation. Listen, it's so encouraging. It's amazing. And it's so enlightening, and it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be, and it's not frivolous like the rebellious has made it out to be, but it is important. It's learning the things of God and a quick learning path depending on your time and also moving at the pace that you need to move it. Listen, you got to check it out. You've got to check. It's time to say, you know what? I want to go deeper in God maybe. Or you can say, not only do I want to go deeper, but I believe that there is a church plant inside of me. I want to start in my city, in my state, in my country, a church. I want to plant a church. I want the vine to begin to grow in my own city, but I need to know. I need to be rightly related. I need to know what I need to do. Well, Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. Check it out, vfnu.org, vfnu.org. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to vfntv.com, or you can go to facebook.com/VFN TV. It's easier to go to VFN TV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFN TV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like, and what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day, so you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the wisdom moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. Well, you know, I don't know if you heard this or not, but I'm not a camper.
I've camped more probably than the typical person. I am just not, I was not a camper. I mean, camping for me was like, you know, you're in a hotel and
I mean, I think you're confused.
You're in a hotel and you are, hungry. You get hungry and you look at, and it's late, it's like midnight or something. And you look at the room service and it says room service, not after midnight. And then it's like, whoa, I'm camping out. I hope I can make it till like the room service comes again or the breakfast buffet opens up in the morning. I am telling you what, it's amazing. God will use the things that are not, the campers that not, are not, to nullify the campers that are.
You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. If you were just listening to the previous segment, we were playing this next third part of the interview of the Malachi prophecies, and it's amazing what you're hearing. And of course, you want to say, and listen, 81% of the church, according to George Barna, are not even reading the Bible, so you're probably just shocked of how accurate Hollywood obviously is. Reading it, that these things that they're doing, but I'm just gonna just because Jesus, this is what Jesus said. He said, "When they said, when will you return? In other words, when will he come back for the church?" And he says, "It'll be just like the days of Noah." And so you can go back and look at the days of Noah and what it was like, and that's what they're talking about. And it's like there are parts of the Catholic organization that is working intensely. I mean, they got a satellite with an infrared.
It's called Lucifer.
It's called Lucifer. And it's like,
get a clue.
Really? I mean, come on. And of course, this is not the whole Catholic Church. This is just, it has to be a very significant part of it. But anyway, so,
leadership,
but so let's look, here. And he's, and you know, in Genesis chapter 6, this is the talking about the days of the flood. And Noah, and he says, when men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God, these are angels, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. And so what you're seeing is you're looking at the heavens, heavenly bodies, angels, looking down at earthly bodies, and they said, well, I think they're beautiful. And so anyone they want to choose, they married them. And marriage, by the way, means you actually, they connected and were able to have a child. And so in that, you know, what's going to come of that? You know, when you cross breed an angel with a man, you know, what do you got? Mm. And it goes on to say that in verse 3, then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. Think about it. At that point, when our days were shortened, think about the mercies of God here. Did the angels, did my angels just go down and mess with my creation on earth?
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
In verse 4, he says, the Nephilim, and that's what they're talking about this interview. So it wasn't like pulled out of nowhere zone. They're talking about the same thing. It says, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards when the sons of God, that's the angels, went with the daughters of men and had children by them. That's where they came from. The Nephilim came from those that were in heaven, the second heaven, obviously. The second heaven, the fallen angels, came in on earth in the third heaven, the first heaven, and just married, you know, and had a child, and the child were giants. They were Nephilim. And he says, they were heroes of old and men of renown. I mean, obviously, they're just, you know, some crossbreed between an angel, a fallen angel, and
a human.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you think about all these things like Star Wars, Star Trek, all these different things. It's like it's a twisted man. It's a twisted version of the human
Well, you look at them, they have morphed heads, some of these programs, you know, Star Trek or whatever. They have all these crazy heads and, you know, they don't look like human, but they look part.
Right. And they're tapping, but Hollywood is tapping into what the church is told he doesn't even read anymore, is they're originally, before the flood, before the earth, and this is what God did. He said in verse 5, he says, the Lord saw how great men's wickedness on earth was and had become, and that every inclination of their thoughts and in their hearts were only evil all the time. And tell me now, people say it doesn't matter what you think, it matters what you do. He said he dealt with man because of what was in their head and what was in their heart. He says in Revelation chapter 2, dealing with the church of Thyatira, he says, now you'll know I'm the God that deals with the thoughts and with your heart, that I judge the thoughts and I judge the heart. And we're seeing right here in the days of Noah, listen, you can't keep on going having these dark thoughts and dark things in your heart and thinking God's not going to, you know, it's not going to be good. Because he says right here, he says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness was. This is Genesis 6, 5. Wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of their thoughts, of their heart, was only on evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. God's heart, think about God grieving. You know, we prayed for some time, you know, and about, you know, Lord, you know, help us to feel your emotions, what you're thinking, what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he began to reveal his emotions to us, and in our frailty and our inability to handle how awesome he is and the depth of his emotions, we were almost tempted to say, quit praying that, because couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle his brokenness and his heart, and not broken, but his heart was broke, his pain and painful. And God's very broken. His heart is very painful, I mean, about what's happening. Don't think it's not, you know, and if you'll, by the way, begin to be broken over it too, as we talked about yesterday, about have anguish over it, then God will spare you.
Yeah.
Because you're
talked about that on the radio, the grieving heart of God, that we humans have the potential, and they did then, and they still do now, cause God, his heart, to feel such extreme pain and be so hurt.
And so Jesus is saying, so it's going to be the same. Everybody's like, it's all going to be utopia and everything's going to be fine. No, it's actually the wheat and the tares are going to grow side by side. The evil is going to increase, and the church is going to, darkness is going to increase, and light's going to increase simultaneously. And so this is God's response in verse 7. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air. For I am grieved, and I believe the Lord is grieved today. I am grieved that I have made them. But, that's beautiful. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And then he began to give a plan to restore man. He always leaves himself a witness.
Yeah.
You know, and he always leaves himself a witness. There is a lineage. People say, are you from Adam? Or you know, where are you from? Well, you're definitely from Noah and his family, because prior to that, everybody died, right? So just forget about that aspect of it and realize that you're from the lineage of Noah and his family. And so God began again, and that's and Genesis is a book, if you understand it, is a book of beginning again. God is so merciful and so kind.
Yeah.
But understand, the ones who had evil on their hearts and mind 24/7, their life ended that moment. So the gospel that's being preached today, that God will begin again with the person who has evil thoughts and evil heart. No, God will begin again without the person who has the evil hearts and the evil thoughts. But he will begin again. And it is a person who understands that their loyalty is to Jesus Christ. And he said, it's going to be the same as the days of Noah. It's going to be the very same thing. Wow. And so when they're talking about Nephilim, and they're talking about, you know, you have third heaven, you have second heaven, you know, God dwells in the third heaven, and those are the angels who didn't fall. Mm-hmm. And then there's the second heaven that Ephesians 6:12 talks about, that you wrestled against powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness. And that is the heaven that's between us and third heaven. And Satan, when he was thrown down to earth, he was allowed to have that kind of authority in the second heaven. He can only have authority in us if we allow him. If we sin and don't deal with it at the cross, or if we invite him in to our lives. So that's why he's trying to deceive all the time. He's trying to get access. Empty houses and open doors.
Right.
Hope we'll have that available. You don't want to be a tool, right? You don't want to be a tool of the enemy. And so he says it's going to be the same in days of Noah. So you can see right here that they're not far-fetched. And what they're saying is, we found this from our investigation. They're not saying that we're saying this. They're saying, we just investigated this to see what was going on. And they're actually saying it and putting it in writing. And they even named part of the satellite that they own that's bigger than the Hubble, can see more than the Hubble
telescope,
more clearer. And they called it the German name for the devil. And of course, Americans were always like, well, if it's not English, it's not sin. I said, come on, dude. You got to get rid of the pride in our lives. You know, we got to get rid of that and understand the devil is the devil is the devil is the devil. That's and the right. Church, we should not even, you just don't even think about, you don't even want to do that. Why would you want to do that? Somebody who loves Jesus is not going to name their car the devil.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Diablo.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? They're not going to, you're not going to call it. I don't care what you know, you're not going to refer to it as that. And so, here we are. We're learning, and this is the third part of a 10-part interview you're going to be hearing over a period of time, hopefully each day on VFN Radio. You can hear that again and hear part ones and part two at on the VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com, right, and click on the Torch. We'll be right back after this message. Listen to VFN Radio. You know, Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine. Talking to himself,
right.
You, us, believers, are the branches, and his father, our father, is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go, you know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N, and spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about as he called us, called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. And it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years in my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that. Because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand what does that mean. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried, so once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. It said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the 30-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, how can we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective
of what
Vine Fellowship Network's about. And it just integrates with the Word of God. It was just doing what God says, you know. And so while Vine, which is Jesus is the vine.
Mm-hmm.
Fellowship is what the church does. And network, we all stay together and stay rightly related, which is, you know, Psalms 133, you know,
right.
And John 17, 23. And so what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar. The Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is, there's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right,
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that, and he confirmed it every step of the way. Well, we share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out, let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org. By the way, wisdom gained by John and material gained by us for the radio program. Yeah, here they are. They finally get on the plane at midnight. Of course, you got to go from Florida, Miami, Florida, mm-hmm. which is basically Cuba. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're 90 miles away from Cuba, so it's a long ways away, geographically speaking. Mm-hmm. And then you got to fly all the way up to New Jersey. And you're thinking, well, look, we're going to sleep. This is a great time to sleep. But yeah. No. They had not yet gained the wisdom that you don't feed your little girl a big Coke.
Oh, no.
He sent me this picture of Maya, man. She's looking. This is midnight now. And I can tell in a still shot, I can tell she had an adrenaline just cranked to the max, sort of like Arnold Schwarzenegger, dear Mr. Universe. She's like, ah! And I'm looking like, oh, they're not going to sleep the whole flight, you know. So wisdom. If you're about to get on a plane, project in advance. You don't want to give sugars to your children.
Or caffeine.
Caffeine. And imagine if it's a long flight, you're going to want to sleep, and everybody on the plane is going to want to sleep. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Bill Cosby talking about that time. He says he was this little single mother was on an airplane with her child, and the whole time the child was just like, Maya wasn't doing this, but this child was like just turned backwards and talking to everybody, wouldn't nobody sleep, which is like, talking, and crying, doing all kinds of different things. And everybody was just wired this whole flight. Mm-hmm. And then right before it says, please buckle your seatbelts, we're coming in for a landing. The mm-hmm. kid just passes out. Boom. And of course everybody's like experiencing another social experiment inside of them. And she grabs this little boy, and he's just draped over her arms, just passed out, innocence, and carries him in both her arms off the plane, down the ramp, and carries him, and the father's coming to meet them. Mm-hmm. And she takes the son, and she puts the son in the father's arms, and then she knocks the stew out of him.
Oh, no.
Are you serious? Yeah, he's like, don't ever let me fly alone with this boy. He's like, how stressful it was. Oh, I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what Bill Cosby did it. He told that story. Welcome to BFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the conversation, the light conversation, is Pat and John. Snails, man, as big as your hand, invading the cups. Like, this is like, sounds like AM radio. But it's like, this is happening.
Nephilim, this is happening.
Snail. I'm a Nephilim. Who would ever thunk it? You know what I'm saying?
That's for
Nephilim.
Real.
I'm like, shut up with that Nephilim stuff. It's exactly. Like, here we are, the starter. There it is. Oh my goodness. And now they got snails invading Florida here, right?
Yes. It's an invasion of what they call giant snails. This is Reuters reporting. This is South Florida's fighting a growing infestation of one of the most destructive and invasive species. It's the African land snail. Check this out. They grow as big as a rat, okay? Mm. And they gnaw through stucco and plaster.
That's pretty much Florida, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what buildings are made of. Yeah.
They said more than 1,000 of these
mollusks. A snail does this? I mean,
a snail.
A little innocent snail?
A little slimy thing?
A snail. Yeah, and they're catching them. They're trying to catch them. They caught 1,000 last week. There's 117,000 total that were spotted in Dade County. It's just crazy.
What's your job? I count snails. There's 100.
Like, how do they know?
How many snails?
I have no idea.
They probably asked the lead snail.
Check this out. They attack over 500 known species of plants. Pretty much anything that's in their path and is green. They destroy it. So anything that's green that's growing, it's a wrap.
You think about that in conjunction with yesterday's program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they're blowing out tires into the highway, and they're basically...
they're eating tires.
Wait a minute. This is Reuters reporting.
This is Reuters.
We're talking snails here.
The snails, they're blowing out tires, tires on the highway. How are they
blowing tires out? They got guns or something?
They got teeth?
No, there's people running over them, and they're so thick.
That
shell's probably as big as a rat.
They have a shell?
Yeah.
Oh, this would come out of the sea.
No.
No, no, this is a land crawling.
Some snails have shells.
Yeah, they have shells.
On the land.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come out of the water.
No.
No.
Wow.
No.
The snail invasion.
Well, listen to this. They said lawnmowers.
This doesn't pass the snail test. No, go ahead.
They said that they're being hurled as projectiles from lawnmower blades.
Shrapnel. Snail shrapnel.
I hit by my neighbor's snail when he's cutting his grass.
They're hitting the pavement and the slime is gooing everywhere. This is like,
This is South Florida.
Yes, this is South Florida. Is this crazy? They said a snail can produce 1,200 eggs a year. A year.
100 a month, right?
Wow. And they're particularly fond of stucco because they devour it for the calcium content that's in stucco, for their shell. They just devour stucco. They need it.
How far up are they? Where are they in the particular line, right?
Crazy.
It had to come from some chemical experiment in Jersey. I mean, how do these things get so big?
Yeah, right.
I have no idea. These things are crazy. They said the last known Florida invasion happened in 1966 when a boy came back from Hawaii. He brought three of these on a plane. Three. Three on a plane from Hawaii. His mother or grandmother, his grandmother eventually let them go in the backyard. And those three that were in the backyard, you're not going to believe this, in 7 years grew to a population of 17,000 snails. And the state spent $1 million and 10 years trying to get rid of them.
Wow. Do you have a picture of these snails?
We'll have a picture on the torch.
You got to see this. I want to see. I'm going to think it's the size of a hand, size of a person's hand. That's a dog. It's like a rat, I guess. It's the size of a rat.
Size of a rat.
You know, people, there's some big rats. There's some big rats out there. That's amazing. A snail.
A
little cute, harmless little snail.
What meanest thou this? I mean, you know, I don't want to go there just thinking, you know, you don't want to connect it to everything, but it's like, who would ever thought the snail was going to actually chase everybody up north? I was like, really? Oh, my goodness.
There's something that's coming up north. There's some infestation of this bug that they haven't had in like...
Mosquito or the...
I don't know what kind of bug it is, but it makes this obnoxious noise.
Oh, I know what kind of bug it is.
And it's, but they said that it's, I mean, they're like millions an acre, millions. And
like locusts then.
Yeah, they say get ready, it's coming. It's coming this
summer. I just wanted to say something here. I mean, we have invading snails. We have locusts coming. And read the word of God when he says, when I send locusts, when I send a plague, I mean, we're kind of playing around, but this is real. This is true stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, we're just trying to make light of where we're headed. If we don't understand that he says, when I send these things, God says this, on my people, he says, if you understand this is me doing this, and it's because of the sin, if you humble yourself, which means we got to get rid of the pride, become dependent on God, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, and pray.
Yeah.
Then he said he would stop all this.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, think about it. You're taken down by a snail. I mean, imagine standing at the judgment seat of Christ, right? A snail takes down your business, your company, your home.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's, you got to read your policy, your insurance policy. They have like a snail clause.
A snail clause.
And this is the whole thing anyway. But understand this. As Christians, we're ready. We're ready any moment whatsoever. I mean, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with God. But if you don't have that, guarantee, you can get that guarantee in Jesus Christ. You can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I mean, things are happening, economies, and people are coming in doing bad things and infiltrated our own government, it appears, you know, according to news reports, and also through prophetic dreams and visions and confirmations.
Yeah.
And, you know, get right with God. Don't be religious. And there's a lot of religion. It's amazing when you see religion, because the thing about religion is when somebody goes all these things like the rich young ruler, but they're totally wrong. Mm-hmm. And they're leaving God. They're not walking with Jesus. Wow. I remember the rich young ruler when he walked away, even though he was being very religious. It wasn't to that point who he was truly walking that out for was for himself and not for God. Yeah. And all you got to do is just humble yourself, you know, beat your chest and just go, who am I? I'm a sinner. God, save me. And I'm telling you, he'll reach down, he'll save you. Jesus Christ will save you and say, Lord, teach me your ways, and get connected to a truly Jesus following, word teaching, discipling, abiding church. You know, and you can find out about our experience, some of our experiences, at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. And you can learn to abide at iabide.org.
Fantastic. Well, there's so many things that are happening. I want to encourage everyone to be sure to follow up on yesterday's prophetic word. But it's time to do the top three. Top three right now. And we just want to share this every, you know, as often as we get a chance. But the top three of the torch, and the first one I want to share with you is, let's not get tired of doing good.
Mm.
Let's not get tired of that. Because you know what? This is a fantastic segment, but we share that, you know, Pat, actually, you wanted to do an errand. And God just, you know, through Pat's experience, he was running through an errand, and he was a little bit rushed, and he had a lot going on that day. And I'm so glad that you shared this, because out of the corner of his eye, he sees that there's this older couple, and they were just struggling. They were just struggling, and there was no one there in the store. You believe there's no one in the store to help them. Mm. And Pat's looking with this compassion, like, oh, my God, you shouldn't even be out here. You shouldn't even be, you know, why are you guys out here? That type of stuff. And he quickly just does what he has to do, and then he assists this elderly couple, and he walks this elderly woman to the car, and he had the mindset going out there, you know, first, I got so much stuff to do. I got to go, and I got to do all this stuff. And he realized, wait a second. God, I can put everything on pause. I'm never too busy. I'm never too busy to do something good. And we need to do that in our life. We need to slow down. We need to be encouraged and reminded by, you know, Pat's experience that, you know what? We're never too busy to do good.
Right.
You know, we're never too busy to do good. And we need to slow down to the pace of love. Love requires us to slow it way down, you know, have a lot of patience, and be loving on each other. Especially, we're going through some rough times as a nation. It's just time to love on people more and be patient with what's happening. The other highlight I want to share with you is that there is a place you are called to be. Are you there yet?
Mm.
There's a place you're called to be, and life has its, you know, its ups and downs and its ebbs and its flow, but we need each other. We absolutely need each other. And you don't want to join or be a part of what God's called you to do only during tragic times, right?
Right.
But you're supposed to be together, you know? And the question is, you know, do we get the love thing right? Do we have love right? If we have love right, we're going to be where God's called us to be. We're going to join. We're going to connect. And you want to be with family.
Right.
That's the whole thing. You know, where there's family, there's love. But if you don't have any family,
He gave us the commandment. He says, listen, this is my new commandment to you. Love each other.
Yeah.
By this, they will know that you're my disciple. And it's like, can't I just teach them something? Do I have to love somebody? Do I have to slow down and just be there for somebody? That's our identification card.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Slowing down is so important. And remember that God's called us to be part of the family of God. You know, it's a living organism, not an organization. And the last one I want to share with you, that it's not about the outer life, but about the inner life. And we talk about here how Jesus confronted and challenged the religious, the Pharisees in his day. And in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 10, he talks about that the Pharisees were more concerned about their outer life and the traditions of men that can be seen. And then they asked Jesus, why are these disciples, you know, wash their hands before they eat? And Jesus is like, listen, it's not about this outer stuff, washing the hands. It's what comes out of the heart that makes a man clean or unclean. It's not about focusing what's on the outside of the cup, but it's what's focusing on the inside of the cup. So many times you're tempted to try to get the outside of the cup clean, when all the truth of the matter is, you know, God's so high and he's looking down. God showed me this. I did this with some teenagers many years ago. You know, God's so high and he looks down that he never sees the outside of the cup. The outside of the cup is for others to look. He just looks straight down into the inside of the cup. You know what I'm saying? And if the inside of the cup is not right, that's what we need to be concerned about. We need to be concerned about what's in our heart and is our heart pure for God, and not living for the eyes of men, but living only for the eyes of God? And it's so, so important.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned yesterday we're going to talk about the currency in the kingdom of God. What is the currency in the kingdom of God? Of course, the ultimate currency is obedience, but what are you doing? What is the obedience? It's not just the word obedience. It's actually something you're doing. Well, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said the first things he's going to do is sit down and talk with men in the Sermon on the Mount. He says in Matthew 5:6, he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Listen, if you want God to move in your life, if you want to see the manifestation of the fullness of Christ and the kingdom in your life, you can't just say, "I'm going to taste only, but I'm not going to dine with God. I'm not going to just give myself fully to God and think you're going to have the full." How can you have a full experience with anybody, including God, if you haven't fully given yourself over to that? You know, it takes all of you to have all of God. And desperation and hunger. You've been hungry for this, you've been desperate for that. But when you get hungry and desperate, I've got to have God. Everything's got to go. I've got to have God in my life. Lord, I'm on a quest here. And then that's when you're willing to start putting down distractions like media and things that are not light and light conversations, things, people and relationships. You're willing to do whatever it takes. You're willing to see and put food aside. Listen, when you're willing to put food aside, read Isaiah 58. God will come and just converge with you in such a way that he will literally heal you, bless you, restore you, and even repair things that have been broken in your life if you get desperate after him. And on VFN TV, if it's not there, it needs to be there. You need to listen to. You go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN TV in the menu and listen to Desperate for the Glory of God. Desperate. And it's okay to be desperate for God. That's what he wants. It's just the longing like a bride would have to after a bridegroom. It's okay. Listen, God responds. This is what Jesus said. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Somebody says, you know, which city you're going to go to next to ministers, like where there's hunger.
Yeah, that's right.
And somebody says, well, you know, they've got all this and all that. Is there hunger there? Is there hunger there? I'm not going to waste my time, because God's not going to move when you minister to a people who are not hungry for him.
Right.
That's right.
Some people go, look, nothing's going on when Jesus preached here in Nazareth. It's like, yeah, but you're not hungry for Jesus. You got to be hungry for him. You're the one. It's you. You control your destiny in the context. If you're willing to open up and be desperate for God, because the king, if you're a believer, the kingdom of God dwells inside of you, and you loose the kingdom when you begin to get hungry for God. The kingdom in you meets the kingdom in God, and Jesus rules over that. An explosion. Yeah, signs, wonders, miracles, but the love of God dripping off of you like honey from a honeycomb. The currency of God, desperation and hunger for God. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.